Google gives you plans to make a robot bartender for your sixth grade science fair project. Four major tech companies report earnings, and we tell you why that matters, and soon you'll be able to pay me straight from your iPhone. All that and a whole lot more coming up on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1756, recorded Thursday, April 27th, 2017.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Box.com, bringing people and ideas together so businesses can work as one. 71,000 companies, including the majority of the Fortune 500, are already on Box. For a free two-week trial or to find out more, visit Box.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. This is a show where we tell you what you need to know about technology and why it matters. I am Megan Maroney.
And I'm Jason Howell. We're going to do it today. We're going to tell them about technology. We're going to tell them why it matters, Megan. You ready?
I am.
Are you ready? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, later we're going to tell you about three of the top five most valuable tech companies and how their earnings were all today in like a big earnings palooza. We'll get to that a little bit later. But first, let's start with a couple of other news items. The new Google Assistant SDK is launching today, which will enable developers to tap into the AI power of Google Assistant from their own prototype hardware. The release is a developer preview at the moment, though, as Google is making sure developers know that launching a commercial product with Assistant built in still requires kind of a direct relationship with Google itself to help facilitate that. You have to contact them if that's what your intentions are. But I mean, this allows you to throw Assistant, you know, into that toy robot that you're working on in your spare time, Megan, or maybe into Padre's Raspberry Pi project that he's working on in his spare time. Yeah, play around with Assistant.
Yeah, you can also make a mocktails mixer, like a robot bartender,
ooh,
which would be great. The hardware and the code is all available open source. I think this would make a great science fair project, but not with mocktails, but with actual cocktails. Great.
Yeah, if it actually made cocktails, and then yes, at the end of that experiment, you drank them.
Right, for the sixth grade science fair, you would be a hit, I think, personally. But don't tell them I told you to do that.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, it's Python-based SDK, which is interesting. The Cosmo robot that I got for my kids, you can also program that with Python.
Oh, okay.
It was definitely challenging to do that. It was quite a challenge. So I think a challenge is good.
Yeah, this is another challenge. Mm-hmm. Sandwiching Assistant into there. You can imagine what people are going to come up with. And Google launched, by the way, Actions on Google. That was an API last year for voice command creation. There's a whole list of them if you have a Google Home that you can do, although I never use them. They're just not it's not the same as the stuff made by Google. It's different. You get a different type of voice with the response. Like, it definitely feels second class compared to like the level of voice actions that you get from Google itself, from their relationships. But anyways, they're expanding it out. I think also they're looking at what Amazon has done with the Echo and, well, mainly the Alexa voice services, where Amazon is enabling developers to also create their own products using their AI. That's been around for a while now. We've started to see, you know, just little devices here and there.
Coffee makers.
Yeah, that have Alexa built into it.
Yeah, I wonder if you could make your own Google Home and it wouldn't be, like, you could just keep all of this stuff on your own, server or something. Because, I mean, that's what a lot of people, they're like, I like the idea of having a voice assistant, but I don't like the idea that Google's always listening to me or it's being sent back to Google. Like, I wonder if you could have the technical ability with this to have your own Google Home where it just stayed with you and not with Google.
I'm guessing not, only because I think the majority of the artificial intelligence is being used to power assistant is happening in the cloud. And so if you want to do any of that kind of query stuff, like, it has to ping into the cloud in order to get the response, that sort of stuff. Maybe you could build something that's maybe a little bit more privacy conscious from the microphone standpoint.
Right. You know, well, so. Yeah, I mean, you could have it control your lights or your, you know, just the things that You know, you could like live off the grid, as it were, with your home automation.
How about making a light switch that controls the smart lights in your living room that you can talk to? I've never talked to a light switch in my room before, and now you can.
That's pretty amazing.
Good idea, huh?
Recode reports that Apple might be creating its own Venmo competitor. Venmo, in case you don't know, is a service that lets you pay people for goods and services easily through an app. It's great for splitting the check at restaurants and not annoying the wait staff or paying your roommate for rent or utilities. Recode sources say the new service would let you pay people directly from your iPhone. This has been rumored for a couple years. It would be, I like Venmo okay. It really depends on the people have to use it.
Yeah.
And that's what it depends on. And a lot of these services are, Venmo's owned by PayPal. So it's independent services like this don't tend to make money. That's what Recode said. Chase has a popular service like this called Quick Pay. So I don't know. Are you a frequent user of Venmo?
No. You know, I'm struggling to think of one time that I've ever paid someone digitally definitely not through Venmo. Ron Richards on All About Android, he's a big Venmo fan. But it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just a glimpse into how not social my life is in my family years. You know,
or
what I
maybe
mean?
You bring money with you. I hate bringing cash, and so I am out, and I wouldn't say I'm any more social than you are. And I never have money with me. So it's like when we hang out with the kids here, they're all like, "Just Venmo me."
Yeah,
and so also
I've never been in that situation. I guess
a person who will not be named who works here, Jerry. Sometimes my daughter babysits for him, and he never has cash, so he Venmos me.
Oh, okay.
And then I have to get the cash to give to her. So thanks, Jerry.
Thanks for passing the buck, literally. And there are a lot of other services that do this, right? Like you can do this through Gmail. Gmail very recently added in, if memory serves, the ability to pay someone directly from Gmail. I think you can do this in Messenger. So there are a number of different ways to do this. From what I was reading here, this would be specifically for iPhone to iPhone, which is not to say, like, you know, there's a very large market of iPhone users. But would that sway you at all?
Yes.
Would that be like, oh, it's the iPhone, that's what matters to me, so that's what I would use? Or is it, I need something that pays everybody?
No, I think that the iPhone would sway me because those are the people that don't use Venmo and that I communicate with. Like my book club, like if we're all contributing to something, or, you know, it's just a lot of people are like, Ven what? And, you know, PayPal? How do you pay someone with PayPal? Like people who just live in iMessage and are very like technically savvy when it comes to their iPhone, but they don't like to put any extra apps on there or anything like that. Those people that I spend time with, and I don't think it's just me, like even Florence Ion, you know, who lives in the Android world, but she says she has, like most of her friends do not. So I think that, you know, she wouldn't be able to use this, not on her iPhone. But for me, I would like it. It would work.
Well, there you go. Anthony Lewandowski, he's the head of the self-driving group at Uber, is stepping aside to move out of the way of the coming freight train. That is the Waymo lawsuit that charges that Lewandowski stole 14,000 files upon his departure from Google. Lewandowski is handing over the steering wheel to Eric Mayhofer, who's been with Uber since 2015 at its research center in Pittsburgh. Lewandowski said in his email to his employees to not include him on any meetings, any email threads, or even ask him for his advice related to LiDAR, which, you know, this all comes after just yesterday. So just as a reminder, and I think we talked about this like a month or two ago, Lewandowski had pleaded the fifth. I think it was late March, so that he, you know, because he didn't want to reveal any information that would incriminate him in this case. Well, yesterday, a U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that Lewandowski can't stop Uber from handing over those documents under the fifth. And this today, he's moving out of the way. I think there's a hearing on this sometime next week. Not looking good for the guy.
No. And Uber maintains that Lewandowski's influence on LiDAR is minimal at best, but that doesn't seem to be accurate necessarily. So Eric Meyerhoff, did you say that he was taking over from
Yeah, I just mentioned that. Yeah.
And yeah, it's, what's up with a leaked memo? That's the thing that is interesting to me, because it sounds like a press release. Mm-hmm. Like, was it really a leaked memo? That's what I wonder. You know, it's like, why not just give out this press release? It was like definitely didn't seem like an email that one person would send to his team. It was just so like, this is written for the press. Please do not email me. It was like, it looked like it was ready to be handed over to the lawyers all the things that a lawyer was supposed to send. But maybe that's minor, but it's just like another Uber story about them being kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, problematic.
They're so Uber. They're so Uber. I mean, maybe it's written like in this day and age, you know, things are going to leak, you know? So it's like, do we choose to go to the press with this, or do we do it in this way? Make sure it sounds good in case when it, probably is going to be leaked, and then it satisfies both requirements, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But at least Uber didn't send him on a vacation.
Yeah.
So there's that, because sometimes you don't come back from those vacations. That's all I'm saying.
That's quite an accusation.
Well, I'm just saying. Uber could send him away on a vacation and then he doesn't return.
Like, he doesn't return to work.
Doesn't return to work.
But he does return. Yeah. Okay.
He's still alive.
You're not saying it's not like a Sopranos situation here or anything.
No.
Okay.
Although that would make this story way more intriguing.
Yeah. I just said they were problematic, not like the mafia. After the break, Microsoft, Samsung, Google, and Amazon release earnings. We read the earnings reports, so you don't have to. But first, let's take a minute to thank Box.com, the sponsor of this episode. Centralize your files and keep your team on track with Box. Box provides one place where you can edit, make comments, share, and approve files from any device, so you can simplify your workflow. That's what we're always looking for, simplifying our workflow. You'll always have the latest version on hand. That makes it easy to collaborate with your team. You can preview full documents in more than 120 file types, including PDF, PSD, and you don't have to download them. You'll receive real-time notifications when edits are made, and Box will save earlier versions in case you need to go back. I always check that, because sometimes Jason likes to change things I said to slip me up. So I like go back and
check. Oh, yeah.
Check.
You've noticed.
Version history. It's important. Use the Box app to stay productive wherever you are. Save files for offline access. Instantly send photos or videos from your iPhone or your iPad directly to Box with Box Capture. Keep your desktop, the web, and mobile content synced with Box Sync. Thousands of integrated apps like DocuSign, Google Docs, Salesforce, even Slack. With Box.com, there's no need to see email attachments. Securely share large files with team members, customers, or external agencies using a link or a custom URL. So no more of that. I didn't get the file. I couldn't open the file, blah, blah, blah. This makes it really easy. You can control permissions, set expiration dates, and secure files with password protection. You can remotely log out a user and delete Box data on any lost or stolen device. Meet your organization's content governance and compliance standards with Box. That means FedRAMP, FIPS, FINRA, and HIPAA compliance, and more. Solve data residency requirements with data storage in Europe, Asia, and Australia. Use Box Platform to create apps that improve customer experience and streamline business processes. Box offers plans for individuals, plans for businesses, and even enterprise plans. More than 41 million users and 59,000 businesses, including 60% of the Fortune 500, trust Box to manage content in the cloud. Stop relying on IT to build workflow. Box empowers users to take ownership of their work. Transform the way your business collaborates and work as one with Box.com. You can visit Box.com for a free 2-week trial. Take it for a little spin for 2 weeks. That's Box.com. And we thank Box for their support. Alphabet announced financial results for the quarter ending March 31st, 2017, and they really want you to know that they are more than a search company, and they're having a good time doing it, so says Larry Page in his investor's letter. Page also says that Alphabet's restructuring has given entrepreneurs more flexibility and autonomy to build and run their own companies. As a whole, Alphabet beat Wall Street estimates, but continues to lose money on that fun stuff like self-driving cars and the life sciences business. Hiring at the company is also up 15% in the last quarter. They now employ 74,000 people.
Thousand people. Wow,
and
that's a
lot of robots probably too, but they didn't mention that. YouTube continues to shine. Their revenue rose 22%. Their stock is up 4% after trading.
In the last quarter alone, they hired 1,939 people. So, you know, things are looking okay for Alphabet right now. Yeah, there are other bets category. Obviously, it's still losing money when you're talking about things like Waymo and, you know, these experimental aspects of their business. They're not making money on those aspects of their business. In some cases, they're not even really trying right now. They're still trying to develop it out. And when it's as ambitious as something like Waymo, that costs a lot of money. But operating loss down to $855 million. It was $1 billion down the previous quarter. So they're moving in the right direction. Still losing money, but losing less money. However you say that. Hardware and Pixel were also part of their other revenues. That's at $3 billion, up $1 billion year over year, but that's lower than their holiday sales at $3.4 billion. And I know that Pixel phones in general have been really hard to find. Like, Google is apparently having a hard time keeping up with demand. There's a lot of people that want to buy them and can't get them. They're always out of stock and everything. So I have to imagine that's affects it at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Microsoft published strong quarterly earnings for Q3 fiscal 2017 with $4.8 billion in net income on $22.1 billion revenue. That's up year over year and beat Wall Street expectations. I think they all did in this little roundup that we have here. It's quite a quarter. Though its cloud and office products increased revenue 7% year over year, the Surface line actually dropped 26%. There have been, you know, there hasn't been any sort of a product refresh in that category, so that's probably part of it. Microsoft also showed how its LinkedIn acquisition is affecting its bottom line. They had mentioned it first last quarterly earnings, and it was kind of a small part of it because it had only just factored in for like maybe it was a month, or maybe it was even as short as a week. I think it was a month, so it was much smaller. But this time around, $975 million in revenue attributed to the acquisition of LinkedIn.
That's impressive. Yeah, Azure is going head to head with AWS, the Amazon's cloud. Like, they're really, you know, that's where a lot of the profits are coming in for them, for Amazon, but not necessarily for Microsoft. Microsoft is still Office and Enterprise. That's their bread and butter. And the Surface sales aren't so great. They blame some of their not so good numbers on the slow Surface sales.
They need to refresh that product line then, I guess, and move along. But I mean, yeah, Azure grew 93% from 120%, so still up, but it just kind of seems like its progress is kind of slowing down a little bit as well. And also, I thought this was kind of interesting. IDC earlier this month had shown how PC sales were growing for the first time in 5 years. If that's the case, that can only be, you know, good news for Microsoft.
Yeah, that was an interesting statistic, mm-hmm. that they've been dropping up until quarter, was it? And for the last 5 years. And I don't know what they attributed to that.
Yeah. We'll see if Microsoft can capitalize off of that, mm-hmm. I guess.
Amazon reported earnings today also, posting a better-than-expected profit. E-commerce and cloud services are still a big boon for the company, where rivals are finding it harder and harder to compete with the Seattle giant. Net income for Amazon stands at $724 million. Why does this matter? According to census data, online retail e-commerce sales are still a small portion of total retail sales, but no one doubts that these numbers are growing. So Amazon has proven shareholder value over time and looks to have a bright future when it comes to growth. They also will sell you buttons to stick on your devices, speakers, now cameras designed to track your every move so they can sell you more stuff. So this is really Amazon proving, like, look at, you know, we're great for investors now and we have all this room to grow, which I don't know that you can argue with that. Also, global growth, 32% of Amazon sales are outside of the United States. So there's a lot of room to grow there, mm-hmm. as well. And like I said, AWS turned a big profit. Cloud is big. And that's what allows them to not give other services away, but essentially with Prime, like there's a lot, they're loss leaders. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, they're charging less for. They're being more competitive, mm-hmm. With prices because they are so far ahead in the cloud.
Yeah. There's some interesting kind of correlations between this and some of the other earnings. AWS, in the case of Amazon compared to Microsoft's cloud, same situation, right? It kind of slowed down, still growing quickly, but comparatively kind of slowed. So for whatever reason, the first quarter of this year, just kind of a little bit, you know, slow down in cloud. Also, we're talking about Alphabet's number of employees and 70 some odd thousand. Wow, that's a whole lot. Amazon passed 350,000 employees, an increase from 43% from last year. So they're doing gangbusters. But of course, they're, you know, they're stocking all of their supply warehouses and getting ready for all the things they're going to do there. And what you were talking about as far as kind of internationally, Amazon's had a big push in India. 9 months ago, they launched their services in India. And there's some pretty big competitors in India. Flipkart is just one of those really established in that region. But in this case, like they're doing really well. Product selection for Prime members in India grew 75% since launch. So in the past, three quarters of a year, they're also bringing a bunch of original series and the Fire TV Stick to the Indian market for the very first time to kind of start getting that content. Tap into the content money that they can get from there too. So important market, and I think that's obviously working well for Amazon.
Mm-hmm. I think also the company is supported mostly by our office mate, Nate, because he has this giant tower of Amazon packages.
They didn't break that out on the earnings.
No, they didn't. They should.
List, though.
Because it's like we're just, he hasn't come in and he's out of town and we just keep looking at it like, what's in all those packages?
I know. I got in there and there was a package on my desk and I was like, oh, it says Nate. That was put on the wrong desk. Here you go, Nate. Add it to your pile. Whatever. I kind of want to be there when he opens it all. It feels like Christmas, to be honest. Samsung teased earlier this month that its quarterly earnings report would be something special, and it did not disappoint. Q1 2017 marks its strongest earnings quarter in 3 years, with a 48% increase in profit year over year at around $8.7 billion, making it the second best quarter ever for the company. However, Samsung's component business is credited with much of that success, as its mobile business saw a drop in revenue that, you know, we can attribute, of course, to the Note 7 fallout, as well as a delay in consumer spending leading up to their next flagship, the Samsung Galaxy S8. But, you know, their demand for memory is super strong. Their demand for display components, that rose 26%. They dominate the OLED market. And they expect next quarter to continue this trend, especially considering when you consider that next quarter is the first full quarter that has their current flagship S8. And that's when we'll really see kind of how their mobile division has rebounded.
Mm-hmm. Also, the refurbished Note 7s will be on sale in June.
In some markets,
some countries get a $250 discount. They say the battery is smaller.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
They would... If they came out with this thing, could you imagine they come out with it? We fixed it. It's the same size battery. Yeah. No one would be in. I guarantee you everyone would be like, yeah, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, literally.
Yeah. Just wear gloves at all times.
Yeah, hazmat suit.
Mm-hmm. Larry sent me a message on Twitter asking if we thought knocking over robots would be the modern day equivalent of cow tipping. So, of course, that was in reference to our story yesterday about the angry Silicon Valley engineer who pushed over a security robot. What do you think?
I don't think that there's any other way to compare it to anything else. Yes, it's absolutely the modern day cow tipping.
I was never a fan of cow tipping.
Nah, neither was I.
But the robot tipping is missing that, like, myth that went along with cow tipping that
would
just stay still, yeah, and which wasn't necessarily true. So
robot tipping is very nascent at this point. It needs to develop out. We need to kind of create new norms around robot tipping.
So
I think we're at the beginning of something special here.
If you had to tip over either a cow or a robot, which would you choose?
I don't normally go around tipping or like pushing animals over. It's not my idea of fun. However, depending on the robot, I'd be very afraid to knock a robot over because, as we know, they will rise up one day and they will hurt us badly. So I don't know. I think I would just fall asleep instead and be like, oops, I fell asleep. I didn't actually do that.
Now we know what happens when you have a really big decision to make that you can't make. You just fall asleep.
I fall asleep because tomorrow's a new day.
Okay.
Sounds like that would work anyways. TNT's fan of the day is Davina. Actually, what would you do? No, before we move on, what would you do?
Move on. I would tip over the robot, but not willingly. But I like cows. I don't eat them, and I think they're cute, and I wouldn't tip them over. And the robot, I would just say, sorry, and tip it over and run.
Sorry, but, I have to do this. I'm not tipping over a cow. Mm. TNT's fan of the day is Davina Magracia on Twitter, who heeded our call from yesterday's show with this picture on Twitter saying she's continuing the tunnel of TNT tweets plus some crochet on the side. I'm really happy you added the crochet on the side. It adds a nice organic element to this strange thing we have going on right now. If you're looking at the video, we can see not one, not two, but three How I Watches embedded. Let's keep this going. I want to see how long we can get this going. Somebody needs to take the call today and do one of these from today's How I Watch. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself and this photo, post it on Instagram, Google Plus, Twitter, or Facebook, and use the hashtag How I Watch TNT, and we'll find it. I want to get to like 2 or 3 months down the line, and we're still doing this, and you can look at it, and like you can't even see that first one. It's just a pixel.
Did your kids have that book Zoom, that picture book that was like that, and you just like zoomed in to, oh, you got to get it. They would still like it.
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, because like you zoom and it's just, you zoom in and then you see something smaller and smaller and smaller.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Turn the page and then it's like, and yeah.
And also related, when you were younger and video cameras, you could connect them to your TV. Did you ever shine the video camera at the TV and get the infinite loop of the video being fed into the camera, being fed into the TV, being fed into the camera? It's really cool.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, see, that's the book. By István Bagné.
Zoom. Oh.
Get it. Everyone get it.
It wasn't great in the box of books that you gave us.
No, I don't know where it is. I think it got, like, the really good books, they get read until they're destroyed.
We kept all the good books.
No,
You gave us some awesome books.
We gave you good books, but the books that, like, got turned, the pages get turned so many times they get torn out.
Yeah, totally.
Acer announced a new smartwatch today called Leapwear. It's round, which makes it garbage, in my opinion. I understand other people have other opinions besides mine. And it does have one redeeming characteristic, this watch, a flashlight. And Chris Welch from The Verge asks the very important question, why don't more smartwatches have flashlights? Why? I mean, I don't understand, it's like partly a battery issue, but this is something I've wanted for so long. And I know people say, oh, well, you have your phone with you all the time, you know, and that has a flashlight, but I don't have my phone with me all the time. And if I'm like climbing under something, or, you know, I've lost something in the dark, my keys, just for safety reasons, I want a flashlight on my watch.
Yeah, I think pretty standard on Android Wear.
I noticed that when I was wearing your Android Wear.
You can do a flashlight mode, and it's one of those like hacky versions where it just basically turns on all the white pixels and ramps up the brightness to 100%. That's pretty effective, actually, in the times that I used it.
That was the one thing I liked about your round smartwatch.
The one and only thing.
I should just carry a flashlight around with me at all times.
Yeah, as a necklace.
Or as a wearable, the flashlight.
Or little mini flashlights, one in each ear. And then if one falls out, you still have another flashlight.
Flashlight,
you can use one flashlight to find the other one. I would rather, instead of a flashlight, it be a laser pointer. Wouldn't that be awesome? You turn on the laser pointer, you can be Buzz Lightyear.
That's dangerous.
Well, I wouldn't shine it in anyone's eyes.
Okay.
I'd just shine it in front of cat's eyes.
You wouldn't shine it at airplanes or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'd do the Buzz Lightyear motion when I did it.
Yeah.
I don't, Or if you were a teacher, that'd
be cool. Are you doing Buzz Lightyear,
or
are you doing Spider-Man? Because it's confusing.
No, I'm not doing Spider-Man. Okay. They're very similar. Okay. Buzz Lightyear requires both hands, though.
Okay.
On one hand on the other wrist. That's the important distinction there. TNT records live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC at twit.tv/live. Of course, you can be part of the show by emailing us, tnt@twit.tv. Leave us a short voicemail at 260-TNT-SHOW and find us on Twitter. We're at TechNewsTodayTV.
You can find us also at our subreddit. That's technewstoday.reddit.com. You can upvote stories. You can downvote stories. You can comment on them. And add some stories of your own if you think we need to be covering certain topics. We check it every day.
We do.
And if you want to tweet at me, I'm at Megan Maroney.
And I'm at Jason Howell. Thanks to our technical director. Return TD today is Kara Cole. Thank you, Kara. Thanks to Burke for always joining us here in the studio. And Burke Chat. Thanks to Kevin for editing the show, and thanks to you for talking tech with us today. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.